Until 3, Jason Jordan for Bob Moorman.
Quarter past 12 here on 882 6PR, 25 degrees in the CBD at the moment. Now, I promised you this at the top of the show. We're going to talk about internet censorship and internet filtering. Now, most of you would be aware that, and I know I've talked about this a few times in the past, that they're going to be spending, the government is going to be spending billions of dollars, billions upon billions of dollars on improving our broadband infrastructure in Australia. And that's great. That's fantastic. We are moving into the future. We do need fast internet access. But at the same time, Senator Conroy, yes, I think you all know what I think of Senator Conroy. He has decided that it's important that we have some internet filtering in place. And I don't know about you, but I talk to people all the time about the internet, and I've never actually heard anybody turn around and say, you know what's missing from Australia's internet services? We need some filtering. We need some censorship. I've never heard anybody say that. Well, clearly someone's saying it because, well, they've made an announcement today about the internet censorship plan, and it looks like it's going ahead. Someone who knows a little bit more about it is Still Garion, who's the internet censorship writer for crikey.com.au, and he joins us now. G'day.
G'day, Jason. How's it going?
Really, really well. Look, I'm heartbroken, but can you give our listeners just a bit more of the background and exactly what's been announced today?
Yeah, I'll try to do that quickly because this has been one of the most complex policy happenings of the last couple of years. But basically, the idea is that the government wishes to introduce compulsory internet censorship for everyone so that your internet service provider would filter out the bad stuff. Now, over the last couple of years, there's been a lot of indecision, or shall we say, a lack of clarity about what constitutes that bad stuff.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. What is bad?
Well, it depends who you ask, isn't it? It depends, you know, whether you are wanting it or not. But in this case, it eventually narrowed down to focusing on what's called refused classification material. Now, I could spend an entire hour talking about the different kind of classification, but things can be refused classification if they're child abuse material or ultra-violent material or instructions in the commission of a crime.
So it's not just about pornography, is it?
No. Things can also be refused classification if they're rated MA15 plus on the internet,
right,
but there isn't anything to stop kids getting through. There isn't what they call an age verification mechanism. Or a video game. Australia does not have an R18 plus category for video games, so anything that can't fall within an MA15 plus rating can't be on the internet, becomes prohibited online content. So there is a blacklist of this stuff which is hosted overseas. I mean, if it's within Australia and someone complains, the Australian Communications and Media Authority just sends them a takedown notice or tells them to put age verification on it, basically to clean up their act.
Right.
But if it's hosted overseas, and of course the majority of the internet is hosted overseas, the Australian government has no say, so therefore they add it to a blacklist. The blacklist is given to people who make internet content filters, and they've been on the market for ages. And of course, the Howard government had its Net Alert program, where anyone who wanted one could get a free internet filter for their home.
So you can censor yourself if you choose to.
Correct. And, yep, and let's face it, you know, if you've got kids, there are certainly things on the internet you don't want your kids to see, that's fair enough. But you know, the people who are against the compulsory filter say, well, this should be the parents' job. But what's happened now is that under political pressure, mostly it's thought from the more conservative end of the Christian churches, the Australian Christian lobby and so on, under that pressure, the government has adopted this this policy to make that filtering compulsory for everybody. Now, there's been a field trial of this stuff, and the report was released today. And the report says that it does not significantly slow down the internet in the test environment, and the filters work okay. There is only a very small rate of incorrect things being blocked and so on. Now, that's all well and good, but I'm watching, it's funny, the department's website has been absolutely overloaded with people trying to download a copy of this report. The people who have got one are going through it with a fine-tooth comb and saying, well, yes, the false positive rate, once you extend beyond this blacklist and look at other things you might want to block, 3.4% of the time, it's blocking something which actually should not be blocked because it's really okay.
So how am I going to know, as your average everyday Joe end user who's just on the internet, not a computer expert, am I allowed to know what's on the blacklist, and am I allowed to know when I've been stopped from going to a site?
Well, here's the magic of it. The blacklist is a secret.
Okay, right.
In fact, there is a special exemption from the Freedom of Information Act to make the blacklist impossible to get hold of.
Just what we need in the open democratic society.
Well, this is what the critics of this plan keep pointing out. They say, hang on, we've got a blacklist which is constructed by bureaucrats, it's secret, and its implementation is secret. We're not allowed to know what's on it, but you're the politicians, you're reassuring us that it's all okay. Now, the blacklist was actually leaked, or an earlier version of it was leaked in about March of this year, and look, not to put too fine a point on it, it's rubbish.
Okay.
The main problem is that the blacklist is only maintained by a couple of public servants in Canberra. They don't have much budget for this, and it's only in response to someone complaining. So because of this, the blacklist can be way out of date. And the funny case was there was a dentist's website up in Queensland who found out his website had been on the blacklist. Now, the reason why is that months previously, I think it was more than a year previously, his website had been hacked. The bad guys were using his website to distribute child pornography. Okay, that's a bad thing. We don't want that to happen. So his site was put on the blacklist. He didn't know it.
Of course, because it's a secret.
Because it's a secret, exactly. Now, he, of course, got his website cleaned up and had been doing everything right for ages, but hadn't known he was on the blacklist until it was leaked.
I'm just wondering why he wasn't getting many visitors to his website.
Well, this is the thing. The blacklist doesn't matter at the moment unless someone voluntarily decides to censor their internet connection.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Uh-huh. So what is planned, though, is that censorship will become compulsory. And we've already had some of the internet service providers saying today that they support the trial results and they're happy to go ahead with this. So they've obviously been briefed by Senator Conroy in what this is all about. I do find it interesting that one of the most vocal internet service providers in support of the idea of filtering does have a business connection with a company that makes internet filters for a living.
Surprise, surprise.
Look, I wrote in a piece months ago, this is all very technical, a blacklist of 2,000 addresses on the web is not going to stop the millions and millions of things that are out there. It's not going to stop the hundreds of hours of YouTube video that are uploaded every day.
Mm.
It's not going to stop kids doing something live on the internet and all
that's
of this
right.
Kind of,
or the peer-to-peer stuff.
Absolutely. It's not going to make a scrap of difference for any of that. So even if it's introduced, it will stop you stumbling across some of this bad stuff. Or if a pedophile decides to type in naked child pictures into Google, then they're not going to find them.
Well, hang on, though. I mean, one of the things I've already seen in this report is a line that says any technically competent user can most likely get straight around the filter anyway.
Correct. And this technology already exists. It's used by dissidents in countries that have severe internet censorship already. We're talking places like China or Saudi Arabia or Iran or Zimbabwe. This is already used by journalists and political activists to get around the kind of censorship to block them there. Exactly the same tools can be used to bypass this filter. They're easily downloadable. Anyone who's got half a clue about setting up computers can get the whole thing happening within minutes.
Crazy. Look, we're rapidly running out of time, but just in closing, do you feel like this is just a complete waste of time and just pure political opportunism?
Well, you know, certainly the government's under a lot of pressure politically to be seen to be doing something to protect the children.
They were doing it already with the free filters you could download for your own use.
Yes, and there was very little public interest in that, only 20,000 odd for the whole country, and most of them have fallen into disuse because, you know, parents didn't want their kids going, hey, Dad, I need to get to this site for my homework. Can you unblock it? Thanks, Dad. Hey, Dad, can you unblock it? Look, the government needs to be seen to be doing something. Here is something, so they're doing it.
But at the end of the day, it's just a, well... It's kind of just flag-waving, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And look, kids are going to be kids. They're going to be more savvy than their parents and find their way around this pretty quick smart. And, you know, personally, where I'd really like to see the money going is to the federal police.
Absolutely.
Child protection team. Absolutely. The police, I think something like, don't quote me on the exact figure, but we're looking at, you know, $40 million or something to help fund internet service providers to get this going, you know, because they're not going to do it out of the goodness of their heart. I think if you ask the federal police what they could do with $40 million in this field, I think they'd be very happy to get that.
I think someone's got some mixed up priorities. Stilgherrian, thank you very much for joining us on the show this afternoon.
Pleasure, Jason, anytime.
See you later, mate. Bye-bye. That's Stilgherrian there, the internet censorship writer for crikey.com.au. You can read some more of his stuff on that website. Have you got a point of view on this internet censorship stuff? If you have, by all means, give us a call here at 6BR 922 11882. The SMS number 1999677. And, of course, there's always our email address, jason at 6br.com.au.